Hey everyone, this is episode 10 of Noodle Time. Welcome, and welcome to the Double Digits. Here with me is the gentleman that was at the Nations League scouting all the players there. Is Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Specifically scouting Honduran players only for the Honduras Dynamo, if you didn't know. But hello, everybody.
Yeah, you were not scouting Alex Lopez and Ellis, right?
No, yeah, I was Matt Jordan sent me. He released me from the basement to scout Honduras. I'm telling him to bring Alex Lopez back, that he was right all along. Yeah, on the real, there's some good Honduran players that we should actually go in for if we're still on that route. But that's another conversation.
Oh yeah, for sure. They have plenty of talent after watching the game against the U.S. and Costa Rica, and they're a pretty interesting team. Honestly, I'd say they're like one of the strongest teams not named USA or Mexico in the CONCACAF.
Yeah, this is a Catracho podcast now, actually.
Honduras Dynamo for life, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh well. So yeah, it's been we've been off for a couple of weeks now. Obviously, the Dynamo haven't played it in 2 weeks, and the Dash are off for like the past week or so, and not much has been going on outside of the international break, and yeah, so we felt like we could use the time to take a break and take care of stuff out of the podcast, and yeah, we're now recording our first Double Digit episode, as you have heard. And which is a pretty interesting milestone. So congratulations, Tony.
Congratulations to you, yeah. Andres. I mean, yeah. If this was a sponsored podcast, right now we would be saying we're sponsored by Headspace and to meditate and to take care of yourself. But
oh yeah, and we're not sponsored. And, yeah, we're not sponsored yet. So
yeah. We're not sponsored. So we'll still say it's good to take a break every once in a while. Don't burn yourself out. But now we're back. Double Digits, and we're ready to cover everything there is Dynamo and Dash related, baby.
Yeah, whenever we get to 100 episodes, that's gonna be the true milestone. So, well, let's wait for that one. It's gonna be fun. And yeah, with that said, right before we start the episode, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. So, as probably you've saw on Twitter from Tony and I, we are interviewing Eric McHugh this week. It's gonna be. I feel like it's gonna be a good one, honestly. I've been hoping to interview Eric for a while after watching him in the 2019 Hong Kong game when I went over there for the All-Star festivities in Orlando. Also to like visit my cousin, and I'm looking forward to it. It's first player we interview, and it's gonna be a great experience for us. Heading into like more interviews over the course of time, and yeah, it's gonna be great, honestly. And with that said, also, just keep up with our blog at ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot. That's ko-fi.com/dynamicfoxtrot, just like my Twitter handle. And yeah, just to keep up with all my podcast episodes and the newsletter. So just stay updated with that. And you can always support us there if you want. And yeah, with that said, let's get into the episode. This episode is going to be, we're going to change up a few things since the Dynamo and Dash haven't played in a while. So we're mainly going to be focusing on the Dynamo and Dash players that have been playing abroad, as well as recapping their last few games. The Dynamo's last game being against Kansas City 2 weeks ago, and the Dash also playing in Kansas City this past week or so. And after that, we're definitely going to preview their upcoming games. And we're also going to talk about Dynamo players potentially leaving and coming in, which is going to be a fun conversation. And also, we also got some pretty good Dynamo Lone Army updates. It's, I'd say, 50% good. The other 50% being not so good. So I'll just keep on, just keep an eye on that one. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the episode. Let's go ahead and break down the international break for the Dynamo and Dash. We're going to go ahead and start with the Dynamo players. We had 4 players in international duty for Dynamo. The two, I feel like, were the two with the most impact, being Bonilla Garcia and Manuel Figueroa. Surprisingly, Manu Figueroa, I don't know how, like, at this point, like, age is just a number for Minor, because he's crutching 40 years old now, and he started all three games for Honduras this past break, and it's pretty impressive, honestly. He started against for the Nations League first. He started for the loss against the USA and the win against Costa Rica for the third place game in penalty kicks. And honestly, like, this guy, I don't know how this guy is gonna get old. Like, you think he's getting old, but not really. Honestly, like, that's just like a that's just that defines the type of player that he is. Like, and especially to give that much to his country, honestly, it's pretty impressive and commendable.
I mean, I'm not surprised if we see Minor Figueroa captaining Honduras in the 2022 World Cup, to be honest, at the age of 40 years old, because at this point, he kind of just has to start shutting us up like our certain friend Carly Lloyd does to some reporters, you know? Next time he's in a press conference, next time he's in a press conference, he's got to be calling out Andres, he's got to be calling me out. And I heard Jill's pod, he'll talk a mess, but no, this is all love here to Minor. He started, went 90 minutes, I believe, in the two Nations League games, and then also against the friendly against Mexico, which was Saturday. So that's three starts in a row against very good opponents. I think Honduras, for the time being, have cemented themselves as third place in the CONCACAF rankings behind United States and Mexico. So it's going to be really interesting going all the way back to the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. It's going to be tough going to Honduras away and playing against that kind of team, which the United States struggled against in the semifinal. It's not going to be pretty. So all I have to say is that Minor definitely needs to be starting against Tim Parker for the time being, starting with Tim Parker for the time being. We just need to end Boney XCB experiment.
Oh, yeah. After the Kansas City game, like, the Boney experiment is over, in my opinion. With the need of another center back in the roster, I just want Boniek out of the defensive line. Honestly, like, I still want to see him, like, potentially as a super sub for the midfield. But other than that, I don't want to see him in defense again after what happened 2 weeks ago. So yeah, there's that. And Boniek, he did have a role in all three games for Honduras. He did come in as a sub for both games in the loss against the USA and the win in penalties against Costa Rica, and he also came in as a sub for the Mexico game. He only played 5 minutes, though. It wasn't that big of a deal, but like, it's just impressive for me just seeing like Boniek and Figueroa having big roles in the international team still, and yeah, like that's why I felt that they had like the biggest impact for like among all the Dynamo players in the break.
Yeah, and then we have our ex-Dynamo, Albert Elise. Alex Lopez, a little bit more of a throwback. But, you know, proud to see Albert Elise really flying high after a great season in Portugal. If you guys weren't aware, he got transferred to Boa Vista. Been catching a lot of attention, apparently attracting a transfer for this coming summer, possibly to... he's been rumored to France, to Ligue 1, or to one of the top clubs in Portugal. So you guys keep an eye out for him, because he's really carrying Honduras' attacking weight a lot. Him and Choco Lozano, who also plays in Spain. So it's a lot of great players. I told you guys, this is a Catracho podcast. We're about to get the Honduras Dynamo jerseys, and we're going to support these guys all the way to the World Cup, because we want to see Boniek and we want to see Minor playing one last World Cup. Come on, that'd be beautiful.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Only 2010s kids remember. The true Boniek Garcia experience, as well as Alex Lopez and Albert Elise. So, yeah, I really hope they make it to the World Cup. Honestly, I feel like they're next to Costa Rica. If they weren't that crap, I feel like they're the most deserving team to make it to the World Cup outside of the U.S. and Mexico, of course.
We gotta wait and see, because I mean, this turned into a CONCACAF podcast now, but I'm here for Jamaica. Could be a dark horse. They've been recruiting a lot of players with Jamaican heritage from England, and they already have a solid squad themselves. So if they manage to get past their federation's problem, I think they have some problems with paying the players and stuff, if I'm not mistaken. If they get everybody in there, that's going to be a really tough team to beat too. But we're rooting for Honduras. We're rooting. Hey, we got to root for El Salvador still. We got to root for Costa Rica. We still got Dynamo boys on there. So, you know, Ariel Lasseter, Darwin Quintero. Darwin's
are in. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it more in depth as well, about Seren and Lasseter. But yeah, I definitely agree with you in the sense that the nations that have like the smallest roles when it comes to World Cup qualifying, obviously being a really outside of the U.S. and Mexico, like it's been pretty tough for them to qualify between themselves. Honestly, since like usually, obviously outside the last World Cup qualifying campaign with the U.S. missing out, it's been pretty tough for like the smaller countries to qualify. So it's always look to see how much progress they've made over the course of time.
Hey man, don't forget. I mean, who didn't qualify for the last World Cup? Exactly. Let's just say that U.S. didn't qualify, and hey, they're back. But this octagon stuff is gonna be real hard. Right now, we're gonna cover right now some of the other games involving Dynamo players, but there's gonna be an octagon format this year for this coming year for World Cup qualifying. So right now it's USA, Mexico, Costa Rica, and Honduras already qualified, and then the last four spots are likely going to be Canada, Jamaica,
El Salvador, most likely.
And what's the last one we're missing there?
It's going to be between one of them. But still, it could be those three, but the last spot, it could be. I feel like it's still up for grabs, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, bro. It's so many teams vying to try to get there. Oh, and Panama is probably also.
Oh, yeah.
The other one. Panama or Curacao. We don't know which one is going to qualify yet.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Panama's a ground screw for, I'm not sure if you guys saw the pictures, but like in the World Cup qualifying game this past weekend, like they're playing in a baseball stadium and it was pretty drenched in water after like a big rain, and it took them like less than an hour for the water to drain out of the field thanks to their work. So shout out to them.
Yes sir, we always love games on baseball fields that are
terrible. NYCFC vibes, take me out to the ball game. You know
one exception, we don't stand.
Yes, okay. And now sidetracking, let's talk about Darwin Seren and his role with El Salvador this past weekend. He does have to play the return leg of their game against St. Kitts, and they did win the first leg against them on the road, 4-0, I believe it was, and he did score a penalty kick, so good for Darwin Seren, and obviously coming out of a big year with the Dynamo last year. He's been in pretty good shape, I feel like, and it's obviously been like a massive influence for El Salvador.
Yeah, he's the OG for El Salvador. They got a lot of new blood, new players coming through. Some dual nationals, you know, Eric Zabaleta, Josh Perez, some Dutch El Salvadorian guy, I think, named Enrico Dueñas, I believe. But they're looking up, so I'm happy for them. You know, all our Salvadorian friends. You know, we all love pupusas too. We all want family.
DC7 pupusas, yes sir.
It's just, I mean, there's still another leg to play. Like I said, Canada's not for sure qualified yet. They still got to beat Haiti. That can always be an upset. We saw it happen in the last Gold Cup. But Darwin Seren is definitely the backbone for El Salvador in the midfield. I believe he's their captain. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there. But also, that'll be a really tough place for Mexico and U.S. to go play in San Salvador away. Oof. Imagine the heat in the crowd. That's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that. And like I said, they're going to play their return leg at home on Tuesday. It's going to be a game to look forward to, even though it's most likely a lock for Salvador to go through the next phase of the qualifying. And we're going to go to the last Dynamo player in the international break, which was Ariel Lasseter. He did come in as a sub for his three games, two of them being in the Nations League. They did lose both of them in penalty kicks. And also the 4-0 loss in the friendly against the U.S., which ended up being the game that their head coach got fired. And yeah, it's been pretty interesting international break for Lasseter, even though he hasn't been like pretty substantial for Costa Rica in the specific stint. I feel like he did see his fair time, honestly, in a pretty crowded Costa Rica team.
If we remember, Lasseter wasn't even initially called up to the Nations League squad for Costa Rica. He got called up due to an injury to Luis Diaz from Columbus Crew, the Costa Rican. He got injured, and Lasseter got called up to replace him last minute. So that was kind of weird. And then Lasseter ended up featuring in every single game, significantly off of the bench. So pretty interesting, pretty wide open for him. Costa Rica is definitely on the downturn after, I guess, kind of what you could say a golden generation after, you know, that 2014 quarterfinal run for them.
Oh, yeah,
It's that generation's kind of, you know, coming to its end. And now it's up to the next Costa Rican guys to step up. And that's kind of, you know, that's where we saw the U.S. struggle when the other generation didn't back up the year before, the last cycle. And now it's happening in Costa Rica. So it might be a hard qualifying cycle for them. And they're going to get a new coach. It might be apparently ex-León champion coach Nacho Ambriz taking over Costa Rica. So that's a big chance for Lasseter to take a spot in the national team. And look, you know, we want Lasseter to succeed, but his end product isn't there so far for Costa Rica or the Dynamo. Obviously, it's easier said than done, especially when coming off the bench. But, you know, we wish him the best of luck with Costa Rica and hopefully with us to bag some more goals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. With the new coach coming in, like it's always good to make a first impression with a new coach. So we just have to wait and see how the next coach kind of like develop the next step for the Costa Rican national team. So hopefully I wish the best for Costa Rica after a pretty good World Cup a while ago. So we just have to wait and see what happens. And yeah, I just hope for the best for them.
Yeah, but pretty good representation for the Dynamo and international. Hopefully in the coming years we can see another American Dynamo player on the U.S. national team. I would love to see that again. It's been days since, you know, Holden and Jeff Cameron and Brian Ching, some throwbacks. Remember when Tally Hall and Will Bruin got their their caps for the USMNT in Houston. If you remember
The freaking time machine, bro. Damn.
If you remember that, you're
an OG, yeah. You're an OG.
If you remember that, Tally Hall's going to come arrest you from the Orlando Police Department.
Officer Hall, please don't. Goddamn.
If anybody knows Tally Hall, please pass this on to him. We miss him.
Yeah, we miss Officer Tally. Officer Hall, sorry. Officer Hall, don't arrest me. Okay.
Anyways.
Let's go ahead and switch to Tadash players during the international break. Tadash had like 7 players out, so which is pretty impressive. So let's talk about it. Jane Campbell and Chrissy Mewis, we always know that they've been getting called up a bunch of times for the U.S. Women's National Team. Even though Chrissy Mewis has been the player that most likely gets minutes, for the last 2 games for the national team, she's been for the first one, she didn't play much. She didn't play, actually. And for the second one, she came off the bench for the second half in the 4-0 win against Jamaica. And Jane Campbell hasn't played yet. And with their next friendly prior to the Olympic send-off being against Nigeria in Austin. And it's been a pretty interesting 2 set of games with their first game where neither of them played against Portugal being a 1-0 win. Essentially, like at the bare minimum, it was a pretty interesting game. So it felt pretty locked. And Chrissy Mewis coming in the second half for the game against Jamaica, being a pretty one-sided game, especially when Mewis came in, being the force that she is. And yeah, I will see what happens in the game against Nigeria. I'm hoping Jane Campbell gets to start that game just to show Coach Blacko her ability that she has honestly shown with a James, with Coach Clarkson, and hopefully Kristi Mewis gets more minutes in that game.
Yeah, I'm really, I mean, obviously the other goalkeepers are great, but I'm like upset to not see Jane Campbell get some minutes. Obviously goalkeepers don't really rotate, but I just feel like they're still leaning on the older goalkeepers a lot more, and I don't know when Jane Campbell's time is going to finally come, if it ever does, but we got to be patient with that. And yeah, I don't think Kristi Mewis is going to be a starter for this team, but hopefully going to the Olympics, so definitely somebody to look off the bench to provide a spark. So we always know she can provide that. But I mean, hey, we have Rachel Daly starting for England most of the time, so we can't complain.
Oh, yeah. And obviously it has to be said that the goalkeeping position with the national team is pretty deep, and it's pretty hard for Jane Campbell to earn the starting spot. So obviously with the national team, every spot, like the roster is pretty deep, and they can have like three different teams on the field and still compete against the best in the world. So that's how great the U.S. Women's national team is. But still, like, it's pretty, I commend Kristi Mewis earning those minutes, and obviously I feel like we're definitely going to see Jane Campbell earn some more minutes in the last friendly of the summer series, heading into the Olympic send-off, which we'll still have to see if either of them make the roster.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And yeah, with the U.S. Women's National Team, we're going to switch to the Canadian National Team. Obviously, the team that is most likely being overrepresented with like Dash players. We got Alicia Chappie, Nichelle Prince, and Sophie Schmidt, like, which I feel like are like the three starters that always make the Canadian national team, which speak to their importance with both Canada and the Dash. And yeah, Prince and Schmidt, they don't play, they're not going to play like a ton of games like the U.S. Women's National Team are, but they're playing a couple games heading into the Olympics. I believe all three get called up for the Olympic Games, so that's good. And Prince and Schmidt in the last friendly against the Czech Republic, they both started, and Chappie came in as a sub. Oh no, Chappie did not come in as a sub, sorry. She didn't play at all. But they both did start Prince and Schmidt, so in the scoreless draw against them, and today they play against Brazil, so we'll see what happens there if all three at least get minutes at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, there's backbone for the Dash, and they play really significant minutes for Canada. So basically Canada 2.0 over here in Houston with all these players. But hey, I mean, it's great to see that we're being represented on the top stage for the women's game.
Oh yeah, for sure. And with that, as we wait for their next game, their next friendly today, we're gonna switch to Rachel Daly, which obviously she's probably like the biggest figure in the Dash right now, and she's not playing any games as of late, but she did get called up for a team Great Britain to represent them for the Olympic Games this summer. And she's been attending a 6-day camp for them overseas, which is pretty good. And with that out of the way, the last player that did get some minutes with the Jamaican national team being Denisha Blackwood, which has been a player that has been seeing pretty significant minutes with the Dash and also being an influence with the Jamaican national team. She did start both games for Jamaica, with the last one being against the in the 4-0 loss against the U.S. and starting and scoring a goal in the win against Nigeria in Houston, which was pretty good. I feel like we just have to see how she keeps developing. But I'm looking forward to the development of Denisha Blackwood with a Dash.
I mean, you also forgot one more player, bro. There's a Dash training player. She's on the training roster. Michelle Olosi.
Oh yeah, Michelle Olosi. Yeah,
she scored for Nigeria against Portugal yesterday.
She's in the training squad. Yeah, she will technically be a Dash player. So you could say that she.
We gotta give all the love to all our Dash players.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So shout out to Alosi for keeping things down, holding it down for and the training squad and for Nigeria, you know.
Former Dash head coach, Randy Waldrum, coaching Nigeria too.
Coaching Nigeria too, yeah.
We got all the shout outs here, past and present. All the
shout outs, bro. Houston is like influencing the global game, I'm telling you.
Yeah, to say. We giants out here, baby.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we've been talking for the past 25 minutes about all the players. So that's how many, like both Dash and Dynamo, like you see all these players like representing Houston or representing the national teams abroad, which is pretty good to see. And yeah, it's pretty, the specific break has been awesome. Like even though it's been pretty lengthy for us, not seeing many Dynamo and Dash games, it's been pretty, lots of stuff to think about, honestly, which is good.
Yeah, but yeah, now we got the league coming back. We got Dash game coming up, Dynamo game coming up, and Dash kind of trying to turn things around. They're not in a bad place in the standings at all. And then the Dynamo trying to keep up with what you could say somewhat of a hot, we'll say somewhat of a warm start to the season, but still got a really tough stretch of games to go. This season, there's not going to be no easy games this season, just to be clear. And hey, we got LAFC right back from the break, so that's not an ideal place to go play, but we got to take it head on.
Yeah, both teams are in an interesting situation, which we'll definitely go ahead and expand on it after whenever we break down their upcoming games, which is going to be later on in the episode. But first, we're gonna go ahead and talk about a potential player moves coming up, obviously with the most which I feel like it should be coming up anytime soon, will be the signing of Tine Chadebe. Potential signing, like Mike Jordan pretty much already confirmed pretty much like the interest and the potential move being a thing in Glenn Davis's show last week. And It didn't sound like it was pretty, it's not close to being done, but that's just in the perspective of Matt Jordan, so take it as you will.
Shout out to Glenn for pressuring Matt Jordan to giving us some answers. I mean, like, we're all tired of this saga being stretched out, nothing being announced, but I think Matt Jordan even mentioning it means it's pretty far along. You know, things can always fall through. Let's not forget that. We're not saying it's going to happen 100%. But hey, Matt Jordan said something. There's an interview with the Turkish with Turkish media from the president of Yeni Malatyaspor, the team that Tine Chadebe is coming from. And he said the transfer has not been announced because essentially it's 90% done, he said. But there's just one more clause, which is Tine Chadebe has to come to do his medical in Houston. And that hasn't happened yet. And they said once that's done, the final paperwork will be signed, then he will be officially announced as a Dynamo player from both teams. But, you know, I'm a social media detective over here. I've been following Tine Chadebe. It looks like he's still in Turkey with his agent. I've seen they've been together a lot. Transfer Market employee and inside scoop, I guess, Emmanuel Veth told us before that it could be visa issues, maybe, with him being from Zimbabwe. So we could be saying there's visa issues for him to get into the country and come get his medical. So nothing confirmed there yet, but let's hope that happens by the July window because we're all tired of waiting.
Oh yeah, like it's been, I've been expecting the process to be pretty lengthy considering that he is an international player, having to clear these hurdles before he comes in. And obviously with considering the pandemic, playing a role in other countries around the world and influencing visa stuff, training, medicals and stuff like that, and the transfer market. I feel like it may have taken a while, honestly, trying to bring in a Tine Chadebe and trying to complete the move. So I'm still hoping it's going to happen eventually. And yeah, like you said, it's most likely just stuff on the Dynamo's end that he has to come in and get his medical ready, and we'll see what happens from there.
Well, it was pretty interesting, Andres, that Matt Jordan mentioned that he himself went to Turkey I guess, to work out to transfer with a team and maybe meet teenage. So that's pretty interesting that Matt Jordan's already on the road. We'll see. We'll see if we can track him, you know, track his flights, track his plane.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Jordan for flying outside of the U.S.
Let's go. Cheers for the boy.
Yeah. Not just outside of the U.S., but outside of the Americas. So shout out to that. Yeah.
Bro, next player we're going to sign got to be from, like, Cambodia or something. Let's go wild.
Let's go. North Macedonia for the for the Euro vibes. Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to mention about Teenage Adebe. Looking into him, Andres, it's pretty interesting that obviously this is, like Matt Jordan said, the first place that they want to strengthen is center back, a new starting center back. So that's Teenage Adebe. And Matt Jordan did also mention he very much didn't want to talk about it, but Glenn kind of squeezed it out of him. If there's any other position that they're looking at, it's an attacking role. So that kind of lines up with what we're going to talk about next, the potential sale of Christian Ramirez to Scotland and Aberdeen, and see if what kind of profile of player we can pick up next, probably a striker, maybe that can play striker and winger. But I just wanted to mention Teenage Adebe is interesting signing for the center back starting spot. Obviously, I've never seen a game live of Teenage Adebe, but you know, from the YouTube videos, from all the information that you can see, it almost seems like Teenage Adebe has played a lot more left back in his career than he has played center back. When he was at Kaiser Chiefs, it seems like he was playing more left back in South Africa, and then for the last 2 years since he's been in the Turkish Super League, he's played a lot of center back, but in on the left side of a three in the back formation. So I could be wrong that maybe he's played more four in the back center back position, but it's pretty interesting how that'll transition over to MLS and if he can fit in next to Tim Parker in the defense if his signing ends up getting finished.
Oh yeah, I still think, yeah, definitely. I feel like when he comes in, after I looked up to his roles on the field, I feel like he definitely can be an option for as a fullback. But in the current circumstances with the team, I always felt like he was going to be a center back. So, but yeah, it's always look to see like him potentially being a fullback here. So we just have to wait on the move and see what happens from there. Honestly, it's been pretty good thinking about like his potential roles with the team in the back.
Yeah, we need backup to Lundy for sure, but I think it's definitely the most important to just solidify the back line and stop with the circus of substitutions there. But you know, hopefully Teenage Adebe can come in if he finishes the transfer, solidify the starting spot next to Parker, and then you know we can have Minor there to rotate in. We can have Bartlow or Fuenmayor, whoever beats themselves out there, and definitely would make me feel a lot better and safer as a Dynamo fan in the back.
Oh yeah, and with Teenage Adebe, let's go ahead and transition to Christian Ramirez, which has been just for now only being named in the Scottish media as a potential signing for Aberdeen, which their head coach having been interested in Christian Ramirez to be brought in for his stint with Atlanta United. And which is pretty, I feel like he's pretty possible, especially since he has not been getting minutes with the Dynamo. And I feel like it's some signing that has to be done for him and for the sake of the Dynamo, which will be like a win-win for both parties. So obviously, him not seeing any minutes and not being much of an influence with the team, I feel like it's a move that has to happen. But it's only been sounding in Scotland and not many sources from stateside, so we just have to wait and see what happens from there. I hope it happens. Really,
pretty much no legitimate sources in America yet, but yeah, I think it's best for both parties. Dynamo can free up some cap space for a player that honestly isn't getting his fair share of minutes with the Dynamo. Let's find them a new club. Help both. We've already talked about this. Help both parties get Ramirez minutes. I mean, you know, people might not think so highly of Scotland, but Aberdeen, I think, finished third or fourth in the Scottish Premier League this season, which is nothing to laugh at. You know, Celtic and Rangers, always top clubs there. So that could be a really interesting move for Ramirez at 30 years old to kind of get to live out that European dream if it happens. And, hey, he could help that team qualify for a Europa League spot or something, and it could be really interesting there. But we won't talk much about that more yet since, like we said, there's no real sources covering it, but the Scottish media reports that have come out are saying that the deal is pretty much agreed to. The only thing standing in the way would be a work permit. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But we know how the work permit situation works out in England and how hard it is. You have to have so many national team caps. I think in Scotland it's a little bit easier from what I've read. It seems like the team might petition to the Scottish government that the signing of Christian Ramirez would be exceptional for Scottish football, like saying that it kind of would be a big deal and he would be a game changer for Aberdeen if they signed him. That's what I've read. That's pretty interesting to see how that works out. I think it's a little bit different in Scotland than England. But let's just hope it happens for all parties involved.
Yeah, it will be also exceptional for Dynamo. So hopefully they add that to their request, hopefully.
It'll be splendid.
Yes, it will be scrumptious.
Oh, God. Anyways, other than that, the only other Dynamo player news that I think we have to report is Dynamo second round draft pick Christoph Strickler. If I'm saying his name correctly, he was what it seemed like in Dynamo training camp for about the last month or so, a little bit more than a month, after he finished his season with Virginia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. And now this weekend it was announced that he signed for I believe in USL League One for Tormenta in FC in Georgia.
Yeah, South Georgia Tormenta. That's their full name, but they go by Tormenta FC. Yeah, you got it.
So, I mean, nothing from the Dynamo end because he was technically never signed to a contract with the Dynamo. It seems like things weren't going to work out with him for the Dynamo. Wasn't able to earn a spot on the roster, and he's heading over to USL League One. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Ethan Bartlett was signed to a contract, still hasn't appeared in the game for the Dynamo after his serious concussion injuries in the beginning of the season. And then the third Dynamo draft pick from the season from SMU, Brandon Torgi, I think is his name. Torgi, I'm sorry if I said his last name wrong. Nothing has been announced there yet. I know he has also been in training for quite a while. We'll have to wait and see if he will earn a spot for the Dynamo roster for this season, as I think midfield depth is kind of thin. So we'll see if he was able to earn a spot. We'll try to figure that out for y'all. But other than that, Dynamo Lone Army is still Palomino McHugh, which we'll touch on. And technically, Juan Carlos Sasokar and RGV with the amazing bike, technically he's also part of that Lone Army.
Sasokar is an interesting situation. I think he should be a Dynamo player by now, but it's just that he's not like listed.
So international spot.
Even though like he was the only player, one of the couple, two, I think three players that were on the preseason RGB roster last year. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the plan was to like bring him up to the Dynamo at some point. So it's an interesting situation with Sasokar, since he hasn't been acknowledged by the Dynamo that much. So
I mean, Matt Jordan mentioned him in his interview with Glenn Davis. They mentioned that, you know, things are not what they used to be with RGB, and they're kind of independent, and they're not really going to take on Dynamo loan players every weekend and be like, hey, you have to play this guy. Obviously, Wilmer Cabrera is playing to win. He's got RGV in first place in their division. But he mentioned that Zokar, so that kind of, we'll have to figure that out there. But let's say he's part of the Dynamo loan army somewhat. But
somewhat. Yeah.
Anyways, before we start rambling on too long, let's just cover the last games that each team played and then what's coming next for the week.
Oh, yeah. So the Dynamo being with the last game at Kansas City, it sucked.
Honestly, yeah.
The Dynamo looked solid in the first half, but like after Busio's goal in the second, like everything we all know is gonna happen, and like from there, like from the free kick was unstoppable, but like the main issue being that the goal happened and then the Dynamo immediately turned off after that, and
that's what
came about. Like they scored within the 15 minutes after Busio's goal, which was pretty disappointing, and you could clearly see how they turned off after that, and they literally couldn't respond up to like barely the last minute. That second goal for the Dynamo, which was like pretty condescending,
it was a 3-2 loss to Kansas City. First game that the Dynamo have played with a full crowd since the pandemic started, since over a year. So that definitely didn't help. Dynamo obviously got the first goal with Fafa Pico taking the ball from Luis Martins, kind of just away from the rhythm of the game against the run of play. And squares it to the center, and Matias Vera with his first MLS goal for the Dynamo. So congrats to him. And then Dynamo held them off for the first half. Second half came in, and Andre said, man, Buzio scores one of the free kicks of the year on Marco Meric. Nothing that could be done there. And then, I mean, with the crowd just backing them and how crazy the atmosphere was, Dynamo just kind of unraveled there. And the score seems a lot closer than what the game actually was, because SKC played the Dynamo off the field in the second half. And that was just another depressing road display. But I guess what you could take from that is we don't want to see Boniek at center back anymore. He just drew a terrible penalty to Polito. No reason for him to bring him down in the box and just chop him down. And then we got to see Mateo Bahamic come in, get his first MLS assist, squaring it to a Rudy in the last minute. That's a positive.
Yeah, and Pablo Pico are coming in, like, forcing the first goal, like, the Dynamo scoring first. I feel like the results pretty much, like, overshadow his performance, I feel like, but he had, like, a pretty good game.
I don't know how many assists Fafa actually has, probably, like, two or three, but I feel like he's involved in, like, every Dynamo goal there is somewhat.
Oh, yeah, even if, like, it's not Rudy, assist, so. Yeah, Rudy got the assist for the first goal, but, like, Fafa Pico pretty much created that play, so... kudos to him for being involved in almost every scoring play for Dynamo so far.
For sure.
Yeah, with that, interesting enough, like, the Dash also played at Kansas City for the last game, so which was pretty weird. And this time it was a game they had to win, coming in, coming off the win at home. I believe it was against
Red Stars.
Yeah, the Red Stars. Yeah, they did beat the Red Stars, and they also managed to beat Kansas City and WSL 1-0, which was essentially the first winning streak of the season, which are pretty important 6 points after a really bad start for them. And this is a result they had to like build off from. Like, it wasn't like a pretty entertaining game. Katie Naughton with a goal with 10 minutes to go in the regulation. Which was pretty a pretty positive result overall. A game they had to win. They got the job done, especially with the starters in before heading into the international break. So they took advantage of the moment, and I feel with their game upcoming game under also on the road against Racing Louisville. I feel like it's gonna be like a tougher opposition, especially being like an expansion team and a pretty promising squad.
Yeah, for sure, promising squad. And it's not easy to play away at Louisville with that packed team and that nice new stadium. But the Dash are kind of in a pivotal role because they are above the playoff line now with 7 points, but they've played 5 games along with half a league, and then the other half of the league has only played 4 games. So I don't know what the points per game is looking like there, but the Dash definitely, all I know is that they need to keep winning to stay above that playoff line, and more than anything, keep the confidence up because they need to keep this momentum going just from this past win against Kansas City, against Chicago Red Stars, and kind of turn the season around in a way mentally. So this Racing Louisville game, every game that's coming up right now for the Dash is absolutely pivotal.
Yeah, as for their upcoming games, they are both playing on the road. Again, the Dynamo playing LAFC on Saturday, and as I said, the Dash on the road against not Kansas City, though, so Racing Louisville. Both being LAFC, especially being a team we really have a really tough time facing. I feel like the Dynamo have yet to beat LAFC in league play, so even at home, so it's gonna be another, like, even though LAFC had like a slow start to the season, it's gonna be another.
They're still in a slow start, in my opinion, but they had time to recuperate everybody, Carlos Vela back in the lineup, and it might not be the best time to play them coming right from the break, but hey, both teams got the same break, and at the same time, it could be a good chance to solidify and get some more respect.
Yeah, obviously with the Dynamo, trying to earn a result on the road is easier said than done. Being a Dynamo fan for the past few years, this is a pretty good opportunity to get a result, in my opinion, coming in off a pretty lengthy break with the internationals coming in, and it's gonna be an interesting one on national Spanish TV.
You gotta forget. You can't forget. It's also gonna be LAFC's first game with a full crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's absolutely great for the Dynamo, just getting all these road games with full crowds.
Exactly. Yeah, with a really magnificent schedule.
The good thing about the break, Andres, is obviously we haven't gotten any official word, but from the Dynamo training pictures, it looks like Tyler Pascher is in full training. We know he had a small setback with his injury, but hopefully these last 2 weeks gave him a chance to get back to full fitness. And man, I just want to see him start again. He was so good in those first couple games of the Dynamo, and I hope it wasn't a fluke. I hope the injury stayed away, and because he was really changing the game for the Dynamo. So let's hope he's back and healthy. And I don't really think there was many other injuries to worry about for the time being that we know of. Andres, we also forgot to mention Zarek Valentin playing for Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. I definitely forgot about that to add to the script. Boricua, yeah. He literally his Twitter is all Puerto Rico now. And yeah.
Random there. But yeah, respect to Zarek for representing the country of his heritage there. And definitely on the come up with Dave Sarakin as a coach. But from what we know, everybody's healthy for now, knock on wood, you know. But I think Junqua and Bartlow were still possibly recovering from concussions. From the training pictures I saw, Junqua is in full training again. I haven't seen anything about Bartlow.
Junqua coming back is definitely good news. Obviously, yes. With our defense being pretty thin,
very versatile.
Junqua is always a pretty good option for fullback. And center back, I mean, not so much, only based from the last few times I've seen him there, but I feel like he's a pretty good option as a fullback.
But yeah, anyways, against LAFC, hopefully we'll see a full-strength squad. And what else can we say, guys? It's the same things we're saying for every road game. Give us some more ideas, give us some opinions, but we just got to go and get a freaking result on the road. That's the bottom line. Easier said than done, but in my opinion, the midfield is what's kind of been letting us down. Obviously, you can see the mistakes that happen in the front. You can see the mistakes happen in the back line that are a little bit more obvious. But our midfield is kind of losing control of these bigger games on the road. And obviously, it's the give and go between wanting to sit back and not conceding a goal. But then how are we ever going to get a result on the road if we're playing like we did against Colorado or against Kansas City, where we're just sitting back and having no possession and the counterattacks aren't doing anything? So that's just something to point out there.
Yeah, one of the things I forgot to bring up when we were breaking down the Kansas City game, the Sporting Kansas City game for Dynamo, was it was one of the bad games for midfield, pretty much. And just heading into this one, I felt like Derek Jones could have a better role, but unfortunately, I think he was like one of the
players got an early yellow
for the giveaways, pretty much, and the early yellow as well, which pretty much had him.
That's been a common theme.
Yeah, the yellow, which pretty much had him being careful, in challenges and tackles and all those. Hopefully, playing with 10 in Kansas City was gonna be a really bad look, but the giveaway issue, it's been a common trend for the Dynamo this season, and it's feel like it's gonna be a thing LAFC is gonna capitalize on, definitely. And yeah, they just have to figure that one out.
Well, let's hope for the best, guys. That's pretty much, I thought it was going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but we still almost hit the hour 45 to the hour minutes mark. And Mr. Andres here has to go make some moolah now. So, he can support having his fancy podcast equipment.
For sure. And before before we leave, we still have to do Diamond Lone Army.
We kind of talked about it. Marcelo Palomino, the Houston kid, with the goal to put Charlotte 2-2 with Hartford Athletic, and then right afterwards they got another goal to win the game 3-2. So Palomino's been starting in every game for Charlotte Independence so far. Super great to see him getting minutes. I need to sit down and watch some more of his games to see how he's affecting the play, but super positive to see him getting goals.
Yeah, and Eric McHugh, he didn't play for the Battery this weekend against New York Red Bulls too, so not much to say. He's resting for our upcoming interview.
Yes,
so,
sir. They had to rest for the interview.
Shout out to Charleston Battery for resting for the interview. So yeah, thank you, Charleston.
No, yeah, for sure. Eric with had that amazing goal about 2 or 3 weeks back for Charleston. Yeah, almost playing like a striker off the corner kick, but hopefully we get to see more of him with Charleston, with a lot of Charleston games coming up. So yeah, hopefully get him rotated in. He's been playing right back, center back, and obviously he's got that striker's finish. So super excited to bring him on the show for our first player interview on Noodle Time. And if you guys have any questions, any fan questions, please tweet us out, and we'll ask Eric to let him know what y'all are thinking too.
Well, yeah, tag me. I'm gonna go ahead and put a tweet out there for questions for Eric McHugh. I'm definitely gonna have questions for him as well. So you guys are more than welcome to like tag me or comment on my tweet for questions. And yeah, he's gonna play all 90 minutes of the interview. So. The interview is not going to be 90 minutes. That's just like a saying, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So yeah.
And with that trash joke.
Yeah.
The cut end scene.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Thank you guys for being part of the Double Digits episode. It's been a wonderful ride so far, and we're looking forward to the 100 episodes. So yeah, look out for the Triple Digits. And this was me and Tony calling out your good Troll Town, H-Town, holding it down, all the content, you know. All
the best global, yeah, number one Catracho podcast.
Houston. Houston holding out the influence in the global game as we just broke down. So yeah, stay noodle, guys.
See y'all.